Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We are preparing for Shavuos, and we prepare with all kinds of ways. We prepare in Ruchnius, we prepare in Gashmius, and one of the preparations is getting the shuls and the homes ready with flowers, bedecked in flowers, and I want to talk about that minhag. You know that there is obviously discussion about the appropriateness of flowers or trees, as we'll see in a minute. I want to go through a number of sources that relate to the history of where and when and why, and then get into the more lumdish discussion of how does the Gruz opinion, who felt that we should discontinue having flowers or trees on Shavuos because of the customs of the Notzrim. I want to welcome all of our guests who have been here for the first time. Welcome, Mr. How have you been?
I think it's the first 8-year-old
we have. Oh, that's right. Please, say, make sure he gets extra soda and potato kugel. Okay. So there is a very unusual, as far as sources, when we typically think of the sources for flowers on Shavuos, the sources typically begin with the Rishonim, who we'll see in just a moment, but there actually is a Targum. Targum is not like Targum Onkelos, it's not a Tana, it's not a Targum Yonas of Zeal. Targum of Targum Sheni on Esther goes back to what I saw was the time of the Gaonim. And so on the source sheets, you'll see, I'm going to read the Hebrew translation because the Aramaic is just a little bit harder. This is a conversation on Esther between Haman and Achashverosh. When Haman was trying to prove to Achashverosh that Klal Yisrael deserved to be destroyed, he has a very unusual critique of Klal Yisrael. So first of all, these people, these Jews, they pray, they daven, they relearn Torah, they curse out the king, they try to revolt against the authority, and they have this day called Yom HaTzarta, Yom HaTzeras, which is Shavuos. They have this day called Shavuos. What do? They go on to the roofs of their shuls. You could look at the Aramaic on the fourth line or the Hebrew for the fourth line. Look at the fourth line in Hebrew. Olam legag beis Eloheihem v'zorkim tapuchim. And they throw apples off the roof onto the floor. And then they go down to the floor below and they gather up the apples. And they say, this is what the Jews say, just like we're gathering the apples, so too, I think it means, yislachtu b'neihem mi b'neinu, that we should be separated, we should be picked away from the Eno Yehudim. And they say, this is the day that we got the Torah from Hashem on Har Sinai. So what I think he's saying is that there was a minhag on Shavuos to cause there to be a mixture on the floor, throwing apples, you have to sort of distinguish between the apples and the rocks, you know, the apples and the dirt. And they pick the things and show we should have a separation between us, and because we got the Torah, we should be separated from the nations of the world. So I assume that's the Targum's understanding of Amifuzar Mifarad Bein Ha'amim, that this Targum understands that they try to separate themselves. Typically, we often say the Jews are a splintered people. That's how oftentimes the Shlomo Al-Kabetz, Manas Halevi, suggests that the Pshat is that the Jews are splintered between themselves. So this Targum's understanding not like that. That the Jews try to separate themselves, try to ghettoize themselves from the nations of your country, Achashverosh, they don't deserve to live. That's the critique that Haman has against the Jews. So what do you see? You see that there was an ancient minhag going back, the Targum is ascribing it to even what happened in Paras and Madai in the time of Esther, but at least the time of the Gaonim, if not earlier, that there would be apples on the floor. There are some other shitas that specifically talk about apples, which we might not get into. That is the earliest source, but that's not the famous one. The main source is Minhag Ashkenaz. I was sitting next to somebody in Eretz Yisrael Dikr a little while ago, and I was telling him I was going to give shir on this topic tonight. And he grew up in Eretz Yisrael where it wasn't the Minhag. He says, is this the Minhag in all of Klal Yisrael? I said, absolutely not. It's only Minhag Ashkenaz. Why? Based on the following Maharil. Maharil was the father of Minhag Ashkenaz, and the words are, it's a little bit small, the print, but hopefully, there you go. So the Maharil in source number 2, Noagin lahashtiach ritzpas beis hakneses. We see 2 points already. First of all, it's not the homes, it's only the shuls. Second of all, it's not just decorating, you know, like an interior designer. It's lining the floor. It's lining the floor. And also, what do you line the floor with? Bibisamim, shalasavim. There's a focus on besamim. That might have its own reason. Uvishoshanim, and roses. Now, roses also are not just stam flowers that look pretty. They also
smell.
So it could be that the Maril's focus is on the smell. Okay, that was the Maril who's Avi Minog Ashkenaz. If you look in the Ramah, you see how the Ramah cites this halacha in source number 4. Noagin, lishtoach, to spread out, asavim b'shavuos, b'beis ha-knesses, u'bebatim. What does he add? He adds that it's not just done in shuls, it's also done in the houses. And he gives a reason. Zecher l'simchas matan Torah. So what's his point? Is it zecher to matan Torah, or is it as a way of simcha? So it sounds from the Ramah that the point is not, notice no one said anything about, you know, you didn't see anything certainly in the Targum, Maril neither. You don't necessarily see what the kids say. When the kids come home from school, what do they say? Why do you have flowers? The kids say because Har Sinai sprouted with flowers and with foliage. You don't see that yet in any of the sources. The Ramah says, it's Zeichel Simchas Matan Torah. It doesn't sound like it's Zeichel Matan Torah, Zeichel Har Sinai. Sounds like it's for the simcha. What's the simcha? No, what's the how do we celebrate this? How do we express that simcha? Either by having pretty flowers, or maybe by having pretty smell, nice smelling things that are coating our floors. Now, can I ask you a question?
We want to do the other.
No, simcha is, I mean, there's simcha eating.
You're thinking about Har Sinai.
Yeah, so I'm not saying anything about Har Sinai. That's what I'm saying. The Ramah, I don't think, is saying Har Sinai.
What simcha did it having flowers?
I think it's simcha having flowers. I love flowers.
That's why you decorate.
It's cheerful.
Flowers.
Yeah. You walk into you go to a wedding, there's flowers. Why?
Because that's pretty, then they have to the simcha.
That's what I think it means. Yeah. Oh, so you'll say, so maybe it's not the prettiness, Shubha, maybe it's meduyik, that is besamim and shoshanim, specifically the smell. Gives you the simcha. Again, there's simcha food, and there's other senses that we're trying to please. Not just the sense of taste, but also the sense of smell, the sense of vision. But a very simple question, Rabbi, and I think you know the answer. If it's a din in simchas yantiv, then why Shavuos? Why don't we sprinkle besamim and flowers on the floor on Pesach and on Sukkot?
Probably they have mitzvahs.
What?
So
okay, so you're saying that Shavuos is the Lone Ranger. He has nothing to him, so we have to fabricate for himself, you know, create things for Shavuos to cheer us up. Right. But I think you could tell me another answer. What's unique about Shavuos that maybe has an added dimension of Simcha more so than all the other Yom Tovim? What? Yeah. Look at source. It's actually, I gave it to you. It's the top of source number 5. Gemara Pesachim. Oh, wait a second. I didn't share the document. Hold on. One second. Let me share the document with the... it's source number 5. There you go. Now our people on Zoom, now Yanki Melman can see the sources. There we go. If you look at source number 5, we see Taka that Shavuos has an added dimension of Simcha, because we know that there's machlokas if Yontif is supposed to be, let's back up, Stirim Psukim. One pasuk says Chatzi Lashem. I'm sorry, one pasuk says Atzeres Lashem, Yontif is for Hashem. Other pasuk says Atzeres Lachem, Stirim Psukim. So how do we resolve this Stirim Psukim? Machlokas in the Gemara. One answer is, look at the Gemara, Psachim Daf Samachesim and Beis. Titanir, Rabbi Eliezer Amar, Ein lo adam biyontif, Ela o ochal v'shoseh, o yoshe v'shoneh. So Rabbi Eliezer's resolution to the stirim psukim is that you choose whether to eat all day or to, you know, daven and learn all day. Generally, we're not going to get into the details of that. That's the Rabbi Eliezer's shita, and let's skip the next shita. Amr Rabbi Eliezer, skip down 7 lines to the second to last line. Even if you want to choose to have a day full of davening and learning, and that's going to be your shavuos to fulfill atzeres Lashem. Everyone agrees that Yontif of Shavuos, you have to have, even if you choose to daven and learn all day, you have to have lachem, you have to have special simcha because, what do you mean? These psukim relate equally to to every yantif. Why Shavuos? Why do you have to have more celebration on Shavuos? Because Shavuos has a svar at my time, Yom Shnitin about Torah, Rashi says that whenever you celebrate Torah with food, without getting into that. But the point is that there's an added dimension of celebration of Shavuos more than other Yomim Tovim, and that could explain why, if the reason for the flowers is only Simcha, if it's only Simcha, so which Yantif has the greatest Simcha, in a certain sense? Shavuos, Tuba Yom Nitna Torah Yisrael. And maybe that's the reason if we learn like the Ramo, who says that the flowers are not Zeichel Sinai, but they're for Simcha, then we can understand why the Simcha is specifically on Shavuos. Yes?
The Ramo goes through the Hilchos of Simcha for every Yantif. The kids get candy, and the women get nice clothing, and the men have to drink wine, and they get a glass of yayin. There are different things that are geared.
That Simcha is subjective, depends on the individual.
None of them include flowers.
This is not a Din D'oraisa. Right. Yeah, this is a component of. There's first of all, that's the simcha of all of the Yomim Tovim. Second of all, this is a much later minhag. This is something that developed later. The question is, I'm just asking if it was generated later for simcha reasons. So why is it only for simcha of Shavuos, not simcha of the Yomim Tovim? So we have to find the chiluk. That which is there's an inner dimension of simcha that came much later. Yeah, it's much later than that. Those halachas you're talking about Dina de Gemara. There's no Gemara like this. No Gemara about flowers. There's no Gemara that says to put out flowers. But if there is a minhag that developed hundreds of years later, and the reason, if there's a reason, it has to do with Har Sinai, so of course it's Shavuos, not Pesach or Sukkot. But if it's a reason of Simcha, well, Simcha, if Simcha is the reason to have flowers, or sweet-smelling flowers, a sweet-smelling room of a shul, a house, then why should that be only sweet-smelling on Shavuos? On Shavuos, not the other Yom Tov. So we have to find some distinction within the sugya of Simcha, why it would be only by Shavuos and not by the other Yom Tov. Fine. The idea that we're familiar with from what our elementary school, what's your name, young man?
Me?
Yeah.
Yisrael.
Yisrael Lipa. Thank you, Yisrael Lipa. Did your Rebbe teach you about flowers on Shavuos?
No.
No, okay. So you have to go to your Rebbe tomorrow and say, the rabbi asks why we have flowers on Shavuos. And I think I know the answer that he's going to give you. He's going to give you the answer that's the source number 7. That's the Levush. The Levush says that Har Sinai had a lot of flowers and had a lot of green grass. What? Who eats green grass? Do you know who eats green grass? Do you eat green grass?
No.
Does your father?
No.
How do you know your father doesn't eat green grass? Maybe before he became an Abba, he used to eat green grass. Then he stopped when you were born. That's correct. Exactly. It's for animals. And the Torah says, that Torah says explicitly that the animals can't eat the grass on Har Sinai. So it must be that there was grass on Har Sinai. That's what Levush says. So we wanted to make a zecher, so we put green grass in our houses. It's a funny, if you think about it, it's a very funny, that's the zecher of Har Sinai. It happened to have grass. I've been in a lot of places in the world. There's a lot of places in the world that have grass.
Not in the desert, though.
What?
Not in the desert.
Yeah, good point. You're right. It's in a desert. That's true. Okay. So what we have now is, I'm going to present to you a totally separate reason for this minhag that starts to veer away from grass per se. If you look in the Siddur Beis Yaakov, that's Rav Yaakov Emden in source number 8, Rav Yaakov Emden, in the second half of source number 8, he says that not only is there a minhag to put grass to commemorate Har Sinai, but there's also a minhag to put up branches of trees. Why? Because what do we know about trees in relation to Shavuos?
Shavuos is the young tree.
Close. I know what you mean. Rosh Hashanah.
No,
it's the Rosh Hashanah. It's not the Rosh Hashanah. It's the Yom Tov. Atzeres Nidonim al Peres Ha'ilan. The four times that we're Nidon, so Rosh Hashanah, we're Nidon al Peres Ha'ilan. So if that's the case, if that's the reason that we are supposed to put up trees in our shuls to remind us that we're, look at how he says it, because he adds a knetch that maybe will change our davening on Shavuos after the Gimel presence. Gam noa gilahamid anfe ilanos Lefisha bo, on Shavuos, nidon in Paris Ilan. So why do we bring it into the shul? Kedeshi is palalu alehen. Wow. If I see, you know, some branches of some fruit trees, it's going to make me have a little bit of extra kavana on Shavuos, and I'm going to daven for them as they're standing bedin. So according to this, what should we be bringing into the shuls?
Fruit trees.
At least branches of fruit trees, yeah. That's what would come out. So we're having quite a few nafkaminas of, is it something that smells? Is it grass? Oh, that's a very big shaila. How could it be? You can't bring fruit trees because it's not so simple. You could cut down fruit tree branches for not meaningful purposes. So maybe that's why he doesn't specify trees that have fruits on it. I hear, but I don't know if that's considered. That's a different sugya in the sugya bal tashchis. Is that the Pinto suggesting that if it's a good reason to daven for fruit trees, you could daven for fruit trees without fruit trees being cut down. You're saying it arouses. Yeah, I hear. I don't know if that meets the threshold of a good reason to cut down. You know, good reason means I need to extend my house. There's some practical gain. To say that it's going to remind me to have extra kavana. I hear. Okay, that's something to think about. There's a discussion about cutting the branches. I don't remember the whole sugya, but there's a discussion of pruning a fruit tree not for its own growth. If it's for its own growth, that's a different story. But if it's just cutting off fruit trees because they're in the way, for example, that's not so simple. I'm not saying yes, no, but I'm saying that's not. That is a discussion on the pasuk. Okay, one or two added sources. In source number 9, you see a chazal gemara in Shabbos Peichesim and Beis. In Shabbos Peichesim and Beis, there's a lot of discussion in the Baalei Machshava what this means. That every word kivayachol that came out of Hashem's mouth, every one word of the Aser Sadibros, nismalei kol haolam kulo bebesamim. And what happened? The next word. If it already smells like besom, so what do you need to do the second time? So Hashem blew away the besom from the first one, and a new nismalei haolam kulo bebesamim. Ah, so if that's the case, then I can understand very clearly why the early Rishonim, the Maril, says that you're supposed to line the floors with besamim specifically, and with shoshanim specifically, because the vort is not to have trees, the vort is not to have grass, the vort is not to have flowers, the vort is to have.
It's actually every sense.
Smell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented Torah with every. There was a visual aspect. There was an auditory aspect. There was a. We're just missing the taste. What?
The Glade plug-in.
Yeah. Okay. They didn't have the Glade plug-ins in the olden days. So, if that's the case. It would make sense if then by putting down these besamim, it's actually very much a zecher l'sinai. It's not like the Ramah says that it's simcha. Before we said that, oh, it's smell. Why is it smell? Because it's simcha. Simcha, that's what you want to do, not just something that is nice to look at, but has smell, that you could feel it, you could inhale it. That's the simcha. No, according to this Gemara in Shabbos, if that's the source for the minhag, which potentially might be the case, then the fact that you're having a smell that is a very specific commemoration of Zecher of Har Sinai, where there was this unusual, exceptional experience of an incredible smell that came out with Matan Torah. Fine. I didn't show you, and so if you want to see inside, source number 13 is the Magen Avram on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Probably one of, you know, he made it to the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avram is in the Shulchan Aruch, so it has a certain added dimension, an added gravitas. And there, then, source number 13, Magen Avram, Tav Tzadi Dalid, Sif Katan Hey, he says the vart of bring trees into the shuls. So the Magen Avram says, look at his words, Nogin lahamit ilonos bebeis hakneses ubebatim. Stand up trees. Okay, so anyone have a fir tree? They could sponsor a fir, right? A fir tree?
Yeah.
That's what they use in December? Fir trees, right? If I remember. Yeah. Okay, so if anyone wants to sponsor a fir tree, we'll have it right next to, maybe we'll bring in the American flag, the Israeli flag, and a fir tree. Yeah, so with lights, without lights, the lights, Zechela, right? The Rava Sakolas, the Brake Makolas. So we'll say, well, if you're really from, you have lights. If you're really from, you'll have the lights on the trees. So the Magen Avraham says you're supposed to bring trees into your shuls on Shavuos. You realize that we don't actually bring in trees, but that means we're not fulfilling this Magen Avraham, right?
So where the Magen
Avraham lived? The Magen Avraham, Rav Avram Gombiner, I don't remember where he lived. He's classical. Where the Magen Avraham? He lived in the 1600s.
Somewhere in Europe where they celebrated.
Okay, we're gonna
tomorrow.
What?
Tomorrow there'll be nice trees delivered to the shul.
Are they gonna be trees with lights?
They come from trees.
They come from trees. Okay.
He lived in Poland.
Okay. Poland, I believe, is Catholic. Okay. We'll see where this goes. We'll see where this goes in a minute.
The city was Gubbin.
What is it called? Ravram Gombiner. So from Gubbin. Okay. Fine. So now I'm going to just share one more source before we get into the sugya of how come we don't have Shavuos trees. One more beautiful source. The Paradis Yosef says something. Ra'isi b'shem hagon Mordechai Benet, Ramosha Maram Benet. Why do we put out trees or branches on Shavuos? He makes a very cute calculation. When was Moshe Rabbeinu born? Zayin Adar.
Yeah.
How long was he with his mother?
3 months.
3 months.
He went in the boat.
So what happened there? Where did she put him after 3 months?
In a boat.
In a boat. Where did they put the boat?
In the Yam
Suf. In the Yam what?
In the Nilus.
In the what?
In the Nile.
In the what?
In the reeds.
Thank you. Thank you. Heard what he said? You heard what he said? Say it louder.
In the reeds.
In the reeds. In the Suf. In the Suf. Yeah, so well, let's see. His birthday was Zayin Adar. What's 3 months after that? Zayin Adar. What comes after Adar? Do you know?
Nisan.
What comes after Nisan?
Yeah.
What comes after that?
Sivan.
Oh my gosh! Wait. Nisan to Iyar to Nisan to Iyar to Sivan. That's Shavuos. So Shavuos, says the Paradis Yosef, was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nosein HaTorah, was placed among the reeds, among the trees, among the branches.
That year was the seventh.
Okay.
And every year it's the sixth.
That's another discussion. So that's what Maram Benet suggests, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the 3 months after he was born, was the day that he was put into the reeds, and that's on Shavuot. So we also celebrate that moment that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved by being placed in the reeds with the Nosein HaTorah, by putting reeds all around our house, putting the branches all around our house. Okay. Ad Khan, the first half of the shiur, different sources and reasons, ta'amim, for the beautiful minhag that we do have. But now we're going to get into a little bit of the more the lamdas, the halacha part, and that is based primarily on a gra. If you look at the gra appears in the Maaser Rav, which is a recording of his hanhagos, and also the Be'er HaGra will see also on the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't talk about trees, but we'll see he's going to be l'shitase, the Gra will be l'shitase in the Be'er HaGra on Shulchan Aruch about other halachas. So look at the Maaser Rav in source number 15, the Tosefes Maaser Rav, Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph. B'Shavuos, what did the Ramah tell us? The Ramah, we learned the Ramah together. The Ramah told us, which we saw earlier in source 4, that the minhag is that we do put out grass on Shavuos. We put out grass. Comes the Gra and says, Ein lahamid ilanos. We don't put out ilanos. Why? Not that we never did, not that it's a mistaken minhag. But we have to change our minhag. Ki me'acha, look at source number 15, me'acha she'enu ela minhag velo midina. A, the starting point is it's not a din, it's only a minhag. And since it's only a minhag, since the Gentiles have adopted it for their holiday,
Therefore, we should be mevatel it. Oh, which holiday are we talking about? When did the... Oh, so I saw. So everybody always assumes, and that's what the sign that we made for our shir, our wonderful secretary made office manager made a beautiful sign that had, I told her, please put a kretzmach tree on the sign for the shir tonight. Because that's what we typically assume. That's what I always learned this gra. That's what I assumed is the gra is referring to. However, if you look at the Risha, if you look at one of the early Achronim. Is it the Chayodim?
Chayodim says something. The Christmas tree developed in the 1800s, probably even after the Gra.
That's one point. There's another point. I don't remember if the Chayodim, it could be the Chayodim, says, do I have it here? I don't have it here on the sheet. Do I have it here? He has, does he mention Pentecost? One of the early Achronim, I think, mention, I'm sorry I don't have it here, that it's, we have to discontinue doing our trees because it's the same thing that they do on their, he has a word that doesn't, it's not exactly Pentecost, it's like Pinkatext, something like that. A word that probably means Pentecost. What are they, how do they go and celebrate Pentecost? First of all, when is Pentecost? Pentecost is Shavuos. It's, Pentecost is apparently supposed to be 7 weeks after Easter.
Lahavdil. Which all the disciples came back because they all came back for Yontif.
Okay, whatever it is. Okay, fine. So 7 weeks after Easter, they have their holiday of Pentecost. And how do they celebrate the holiday of Pentecost? With?
Trees.
Ah. So it's not that the Gra says that on Kretzmach 6 months ago, on the 25th of December, they put trees, and so now us, 6 months later, when we have a Yontif, we shouldn't do it. I mean, it's totally different Yontif. Why is that a Zeicher? What is that? Our putting up tree, trees are very generic things. Like, we eat, they eat, you know. We walk, they walk. So they put up trees, we can't put up trees? That's 6 months ago. No. The answer is, they have trees somehow incorporated in there. They put up trees on the holiday of Pentecost, on their holiday of Pentecost. And that is this, that is Mamish, this what did you find something?
Yeah.
What does it say something about? An Eastern Orthodox thing to have trees for?
The Russians basically took over.
They still do it in Lithuania.
They still do it in Lithuania. Okay, so there is.
Which is
Vilna? Okay, certainly. Lithuania certainly is a lot of these, yeah. So they had trees that they would put out on Pentecost, on Shavuos time. So therefore, we understand that it is very much a minog, a chukas ha'akum. So that's the Gra who rejects this issue. Now, I'd like to learn with you, we're not going to get so much into the sugya of when are we mevatel our menhagim in order to not be like the goyim who've adopted something? It's very weird if you think about that. Because they made an iser, because they started doing something, we should stop doing what we do? Do you realize what that means? That means that we're giving the power to the goyim to stop us.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like in the argument of the end during the time of the Maskilim, the we'll call them the Prushim, who the ones who didn't want the Haskalah. So the Maskilim started talking in Hebrew. So what did we do? We don't want to learn Hebrew. We don't want to have anything to do with Hebrew. It's Lashana, what?
Learning
Nevi'im, right, 100%. So that's why Yeshiva liked to learn Nevi'im. Next thing you know, if the Maskilim start keeping Shabbos, well, throw Shabbos away. You know, you can't learn Hebrew, you can't learn Tanakh. You know, we're going to have to stop keeping Shabbos if the Maskilim start keeping Shabbos. So
Paris says we don't bring the Baruch Hashem at Seilah, even though the Abbas did, because since following Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov,
yeah,
the pagans.
That once the Goyim had started to doing Matzevas, then we are no longer able to do Matzevas. That is correct. That's the same halacha. So there is a discussion. The Gemara's talk about, the Gemara, if you look at source number 17, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, talks about using a sayif for the misa of sayif. And it says, maybe we shouldn't use a sword. Why not? Because The goyim use a sword. So it's being like, it's chukas akum. So therefore, we have to do it with something else. We have to use a hatchet for saif without getting into the details, the goy details. But you see that we can't, once they start doing something, that might prevent us from doing saif, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? There's a mitzvah d'oraisa called ubiarta harami kirbecha. What's included in the mitzvah asei d'oraisa of ubiarta harami kirbecha? Skila, sreifa, hereg, chenek. Hereg is was saif for all of history until Rabbi Yehuda came around and said, no, we can't do saif anymore because look at the first line of the Gemara, Sanhedrin and Beis and Beis, right after the Mishnah, Tanya, Amar Lehen Rabbi Yehuda, Lachacham. I know that you want to tell me that, I know that you should really use a saif because using a hatch is much more disgusting. I know we should really use a saif. Avani yodeh shemisam nevelsi to use something other than a saif. Saif is a clean cut. Avam ma'ase shari amra tovachu koseim laseleichu. We can't use a saif because that's what the goyim used to chop off heads. So we can't use a saif. We can't use that which they use. That means he's changing a mitzvah. He's changing something that is essentially a fulfillment of a mitzvah to say
d'oraisa. I don't understand that. That kind of head, not because it's religious, it's just a convenient way of doing things. Not that.
You're making a very good point. The reason why they used the saif was not because of some pagan reason to cut off heads with the saif. It's because saifs are very well designed for things like cutting off heads. Yeah, that's going to come into the... Could be. So I'd like to learn with you a Maharik. In source number 19, I'd like to learn with you a Maharik. And this Maharik is actually paskind in the Rama, but it's more interesting in the Maharik. Okay. Says the Maharik in Shorash Peches, Lanias nai daiti nira, the davar pasha, delo la'asar mishum chok, when we want to say that you can't do in Judaism something that's chukas ha'akum, what's incorporated in the ifsir of chukas ha'akum, to not be like the Gentiles? Says the Maharik a very important line. The only thing that's usur are things that are a chok of ha'akum. Chukas ha'akum. We know what the word chok means. Delo la'asar mishum chok ela be'echas mishnei chalakim. There are two possible ways that we could ask this something because of a chok. Chukas ha'akum. Ha'echad, second line. Hu ha'davar asher ein tamo nigla. Kidumash m'loshan chok. We know what the word chok means. Chok means something that's senseless is a good word. That doesn't have a real reason, or doesn't have a clear, everything has a reason, but doesn't have a reason that's clearly evident. That's what Rashi says. Ukadapirish Rashi, Upirish Chomish, Bepashis Kadoshim, third line, Zelshon Achukim El Gzeris HaMelch Shein Lehem Tam L'davar. That's the famous Rashi defining what a chok is. Yisrael Lipa, did your Rebbe teach you about Chukim Umishpatim?
Not yet.
Okay, so he'll teach you, and he's going to tell you that there are different kinds of mitzvahs. A chok is a mitzvah we don't understand. Okay, thank you. Varamban, in the fourth line, Varamban causes, no, it's not that there's no reason, it's just that we don't know the reason. It's not that they don't have a reason, they have a reason, just, you know, the king doesn't inform us of that reason. Either way, what do you see? Harei shehushvu shnehem. Both the Rashi and the Ramban agree. Deloshen chok mashma, davar asher tamo nelam. We don't know the reason. Okay, just a little bit of a difference between the Rashi and the Ramban. Fine. So the Torah says that we shouldn't go b'chukoseihem. Look at the third to last line of the first paragraph of source number 19. When the Torah says, don't go leilech b'chukoseihem, dekeim she'osa davar mishuna. If they have a way of doing something that has no reason, no rhyme or reason, Goyim, they do, you know, the four jumping jacks on the second Tuesday of every third month. So if they have something that is davar mishuna with no reason, asher ein bo tam nigla el sheim nogin kein oz nira vaday, then why would you do such a thing? Because you want to be like them. If somebody does something absurd and you like, you know, when your son comes home from yeshiva, from school, and he says, I want to get this weird-looking pair of whatever. And you say, it doesn't look nice. Why do you want to wear that? And it's three times as expensive. And he says, because? That's what everyone else is doing. So you realize there's no tam l'davar. It's weird, it's wacky, it doesn't make sense, but you're doing it because? You want to do another? It's in. That means I want to copy them. Oh, so if it's in by the garment, you're doing only not because it's any essential fundamental reason inherently. Smart thing, smart way, smart reason why you're doing it. You just want to do it because it's in, because they're doing it. That's exactly what the Torah doesn't want you to do. If something that's a chok, that you're doing it just to be like them, that's what the Torah asks. That's number one. And secondly, the more obvious iser of chukos ha'akim is the next paragraph. If they do something that is that borders on inappropriate, they do something that has a something negative to it, and you're doing, you're following their ways. Like for example, I think that I'm something really disgusting. Somebody who wears something really pretzistic, like purple or red, for example, right? If you know somebody, Yankee, you don't get to see what my eyes are going. I'm staring at somebody who's wearing purple red clothing right now as I you know, somebody does something terrible. When the guy would do something terrible like that, it's a pretzistik, a loud, arrogant way of dress. So even if there's no talmud, the very fact they're doing something disgusting, that's already reason not to what, to wear agamon?
Not for red.
Okay, fine. Okay. So let's look in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, how all this comes down in the Mechaber and Raman, source number 20. So says the Rama, I'm sorry, says the Mechaber first, Ein holchin b'chukos ha'akum. You're not allowed to go in the ways of the Akum v'lamidam lehem. We don't try to identify or imitate them. Lo yulbash malbash hamyuchalem. Something that's uniquely, like if I wanted to start wearing a collar, because they're cheaper than a suit, you know, cheaper than a tie. Get a collar, the same white collar you can wear every day. If a tie, I have to wear a different tie every day. If I just get those white collars, it'll be much more reasonable. I was visiting somebody in the hospital today, and there was a priest with a collar. I should have asked him how, you know, where to get one. Say, yeah, exactly. Where to buy them? Fine. V'lo yubash mamash ham yuchalem v'lo yigadol tzitzis rosho. I don't have that problem. You can't grow a mohawk or a ponytail like they do. V'lo yigaleach. Again, I'm not saying ponytails are awesome. I'm saying whatever type of thing that they had. Maybe a mohawk, probably. V'lo yigaleach me'atzad v'enyach haser v'amtza. That's a mohawk. Because that's what they did. V'lo yigaleach haser me'kenegad panam, etc. And all the things that they do, we shouldn't copy. Fine. Let's look at the Rama. Ela yehi muvdol mehem. We should distinguish ourselves. We should separate ourselves. B'malbushav u'bishar maisav. Both in our dress, we should separate and distinguish ourselves as well as in the way we carry ourselves.
We wear Western dress.
We do wear Western dress. Well, you look pretty yeshivish. You're okay.
But it's not a Jewish.
It's that guy in the blue shirt. He's one in trouble.
Right.
I hear that. If you're saying you're not allowed to go shopping in Macy's, well, that's why by the Hasidim, we had a Hasidish fellow come to our house, stayed at a house. I never knew that they have their shirts buttoned the opposite way.
Yeah.
You know, I never realized that. It's a white shirt. I thought white shirt's a white shirt. No, it buttons the opposite way. Just to, it is a Jewish dress. I know that's a different shot. That's Lasil Bash Kevus Lasisha. That's also another Isidoraisa. Okay. V'chol zeh, second line of the Ramah. V'chol zeh eino as ela b'davar shnagu b'ha'ov dey kocham l'shem pritzas. Oh, he's going like the Maharik. That it's only asr if it's pritzas. Kigo shnagu l'lbash malbush ma'adumim, which was the malbush of the Sar, v'chadom l'zeh malbush ha'a pritzas. That's one point. That was the second point of the Maharik. Or he's about to say the first point of the Maharik. O b'davar shnagu l'minagu l'chok v'ein tam b'davar. So if you're doing it either for some low reason, don't be like the Goyim. If you're doing it because there's no reason whatsoever, you just want to be like them, also don't do it. Let's stop here. According to the Ramah, if you want to do something like the Goyim, there's nothing inappropriate about what they do that you want to copy, and you're copying it for a reason. Is it mutter or asr? Oh, so right, if you're wearing a lab coat so everyone knows who the doctor is and who we have to really listen to and not the PAs and, well, the PAs also do. The PAs do also, but not the nurses and not the CNAs and not the CRNs and all the other helpers and technicians and phlebotomists. And you want to know who's the real doctor you have to listen to. Okay, so there's a good reason why they wear the lab coat. We could, you're allowed to wear a lab. What?
Wearing a sports jersey really makes no sense.
Meaning if you wear a Yankees jersey with the name of, some Spanish name on the back of your back, it's just...
Just to copy them,
yeah, I hear. So, is there anything negative about it?
No.
Does it keep you warm?
Not more so than any other.
Oh, so I don't know if that's a problem. If you're wearing it to keep you, I hear. I have to think about
you're
that.
You're idolizing the person. That is a
fine. Okay. Now, Rabosa, what I want to ask you is the following: the first half of this shiur, I gave you half a dozen reasons why it's proper. Why we want to have trees or flowers or shoshanim or different things in our shuls and homes. I gave you half a dozen reasons. To be like Har Sinai, to smell nice, Simchas Yantif, Paris to Elon. Those are all good reasons, right? According to the Ramah, if you have a reason for something, and you're not copying them for no reason whatsoever, just to be like that, but you have a reason for doing it, are you allowed to do that? Is that considered b'chul koseyam lo seleichu?
No.
Correct. It's not a violation of b'chul koseyam lo seleichu if there's a reason why you're doing it. So according to the Ramah, are you allowed to have a tree in your shul on Shavuos?
No, it's all different.
100% yes.
No, it's all different.
Why? Because according to the Ramah, what's awesome? What constitutes, according to the Ramah, that something is chukas akam? There are two parameters. Either there's tznius, or there's some lack of, there's arrogance and pritzus. Putting a tree in my shul is not arrogance or pretense. Hold on. The other reason is there's no reason to do it at all, and therefore the only reason why you would be doing it is to copy the Goyim. Well, I had told you six good reasons why we should have the trees in shul. If that's the case, the Ramaz would hold, according to his psak that we just learned together, trees in shuls are totally fine, even if the Goyim do copy us. And it does become a Gentile custom to have on Kretzmach, on Pentecost, whatever you want.
No, but it's different. When I'm wearing the shirt, they have reasons, you don't think that you're copying the guy for whatever it is that you're doing. When you do something related to their religion, you're in your place of worship and you're doing something that they do in their place of worship is a different story now. It is, it's not that you can't say that there's no reason behind it. People see it and they say, oh, you're celebrating that religion. It comes across what you're doing as you're copying the guy.
You're saying a different something different entirely. You're saying that if it's part of the religious ritual that we do, that's worse than just dressing like they do, getting haircuts like they do, because part of the ritual. The problem is, it was ours first.
Wonderful.
We might have to stop.
It's always going above us first. It's always bringing karbanos first. And then when the guy started doing that to do avodah zarah, we had to stop doing that. And once it was incorporated to the guy, that that's how they started serving, they started doing something, then we stopped doing that ourselves.
I hear.
Almost were butcher until the guy were bringing sacrifices also.
I hear you, Ha'ara. It's a good point. It's a good point. I hear you, Ha'ara. Yeah.
The Maisara doesn't say that it's
usher.
He's saying, it's just not that time anymore.
I don't know. We don't stop minhagim because they're not batamt. It's a halach in the Ramah, right? The Shagra knew that it was a halach in the Ramah.
Right.
The Gra came 100, so on the Ramah, he's going to say it's not batamt. No. You need more than not batamt to stop doing a minhag of Ramah,
it's
no?
It's very possible, based on the historical timing of all this, that the Ramah and the Magen Avraham weren't aware of this going on in the Eastern Orthodox churches.
100%.
By the time it came
you're
to
right.
the time of the goat.
In the time of the Ramah, he might not have known about anything to do with the trees. But according to the Ramah's logic, he told us there are two rules for Chukas Akum. And if you have a reason, then it sounds like it should be Mutter.
So
the Gra might hold like
so
you.
The
Gra
who
says no, the Gra says, I don't care if you have a reason. You have six reasons. We had a whole bunch of reasons. The Gra presumably would hold that despite the fact that you have a good reason, if it's... Well, we'll see. I'll tell you what the Gra holds. Look at the next source. You'll see what the Gra holds. before we see the Gra himself, not again, not in the Maisa Rav, but the Gra in the Beir HaGra in the Shulchan Aruch itself, I want you to remember one thing. This Rama that we just learned together, who says that the only time that there's Chukas Ha'akum is in one of two situations. Either if it's something that is disgusting, arrogant, and you're being like them, pretzistic, arrogant, or if there's no reason whatsoever and you're doing it, so it must be they're doing it to imitate them. Where did he get it from? That was from the Maharik. The Rama is passing like the Maharik, who we saw just right above in source 19, and this is source 20. That was the Maharik. The Rama is going like the Maharik. Let's now, look in the Gra. This Gra is the Gra on Yoredeya Kufayin Ches. We know that the Gra did an incredible, incredible, incredible job, and the Gra on Shulchan Aruch, his goal is to show you how every single phrase in the Shulchan Aruch and Rama, where it is sourced in Shas. So look at the Gra. Again, we're not talking about trees, we're not talking about Shavuos, we're not talking about Kretzmach, we're not talking about flowers. He's talking about the general rule of Chukas Ha'akum. Look at the Gra in the second line. V'gam divri maharik eina nirin. The Maharik, who's the source of this whole Ramah, I don't think it's correct. Meaning, I'm arguing on the whole foundation upon which the Ramah is based. So I argue I don't agree to the Ramah, I don't agree to the Maharik that the Ramah is based on. Why? Because of what Dr. Pintus said 20 minutes ago. He didn't even realize. Look at what the Gra says. Let me tell you outside, and then we'll see it inside. The Gra will go smoothly. The Gemara told us that Rabbi Yehuda stood up and said, you can't do Saif. When you have to kill somebody in Misa Saif, don't use a sword. You know why? Because the Goyim used swords to cut off heads. You pointed out that if you're in the business of cutting off heads, swords are a very good tool, right? So if I would ask you, why are you using a sword? You would say, because it's efficient. It works well, right? It works well. And yet the Gemara still said, you can't do it, it's Chukas Akum. Stop, time out. What do you see from that? You see that even if something does make sense and does have a reason, it's still considered Chukas Akum. So now let's put that into Shavuos. I told you six beautiful reasons why we should put up trees and flowers. The Gra would say, sorry, buddy, you could have really good reasons. Just like a saif is very efficient, and there's a good reason to use a saif, a sword, we're going to have to stop using it because the Goyim started using it. Oh, the Gra is a really strong proof. Let's see that inside, in the five words of the Gra. V'gam divri marik eina nir, where do I know that from? Mimasha kosev sanhedrin daf nun beis, tani, omar l'rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, you have to know what the chuli is, but Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't use a saif because the Goyim started using them. And says the Gra in these four words, v'hasayif, taima ika. Saif, there's a reason why you use it, because it's efficient. That is one proof of the Gra. And I'm not going to go into the other proofs of the Gra. So you see that we have a fundamental machlokes, Gra and Rama. The Rama says, as long as you don't have these two problems of arrogance, preetzus arrogance, or on one hand, or absolutely no reason whatsoever, then you're safe. The Gra says, even if you have a good reason why you're doing it, once the Goyim start doing it, you're in trouble. And that's the shita of the Gra. Why the Gra was mevatel, this minhag. But it's not that that the Gra knew about Pentecost and the Rama didn't, that's why he left it. Maybe the Rama fundamentally disagrees right. One with another.
We wouldn't know
we know they do. They do fundamentally disagree with one another.
We don't know what to say with the Magen Avraham though.
Correct. Correct. I don't know what the Magen Avraham would hold. Right. Without doing.
Say like the Gra is not a writing.
Right.
Because he might not have ever heard such a minute in the
guy. That is correct. I want to finish off with one. With one more point to finish off here. Why don't you look at the last source, source number 24. Source number 24 is the Sefer Hilchas Chag B'Chag. Hilchas Chag B'Chag is written by a Yid named Rabbi Karp. Rabbi Karp, he might be like the Rav or the Av Beis Din of Kiryat Sefer. Kiryat Sefer is the city of Talmidei Chachamim. He might be I remember already when I was in Yeshiva 30 years ago, he was a young, he was probably in his 40s, but now I guess he's in his 70s or so. But he was a young, brilliant Eloi, and he would learn, he was like the Rav of Kiryat Sefer, but all week long, he would hide out in a little yeshuv where nobody knew him. How do I know this? Because my nephew learned in the yeshiva on that yeshuv. What was the name of that yeshiva? I don't remember. Some small yeshuv where there was like a small high school where my nephew learned, and then another 50 houses, and that was the whole yeshuv. Rabbi Karp would just sit there and learn all week long. Nobody would bother him. Nobody knew this yeshuv existed. And then Shabbos, weekends, he would come. Maybe he's there with his family, with his family, I don't know. But then Shabbos, he would go to Kiryat Sefer, and he was the Rav of Kiryat Sefer. And he was a brilliant man. He wrote many svarim, Hilchas Chag B'Chag, Hilchas Shabbos, Shabbos B'Shabbato, Hilchas Sukkah, a whole bunch of svarim. And he has one on Shavuos. And he was a big Talmud of Rebbe Yoshev. I think he had a chavrus with Rebbe Yoshev. Every week they learned together for a few hours. And he would have all of his questions. He presents them to Rebbe Yoshev. So he was a very reliable source of the psukim of Rebbe Yoshev. Look at what he says over here. Something fascinating. If we are arguing that the trees are a Christian minhag, we'll say, so Eretz Yisrael, where the other nations that surround Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, are primarily Islam, is there Chukas Akum of the trees, this Gra that was Mevatel, there's Mevatel the Din, because that's what the Goyim do. Well, in Eretz Yisrael, we're primarily surrounded by, like if you haven't looked at the news, if you're not sure who surrounds us, we're surrounded by not Christians, we're surrounded primarily by Arabs. Will we apply the Din of Chukas Akum in Eretz Yisrael? Look at this, Rebbe Yashiv. Shamati me'agon, Rebbe Yosef, Shalom al Yashiv, Shlita, now it's Zatzal. Shaminuk be Eretz Yisrael, litin asav yarek beis ha-knesses. At least in shuls. If not in homes, at least in shuls. Why? Didn't the Gra, wasn't the Gra mevatel this? Of course, and Eretz Yisrael, the Yishuv follows the Minhag HaGra, don't they? They follow the Minhag HaGra, but yet they do have flowers in shuls? L'fishe ka'ayom, ein bekach b'makom l'seim v'shum chilkas ha-gayim. They don't do the Yishmaelim. The Muslims don't put up trees. And therefore, I know there are plenty of churches, at least certainly in Yerushalayim. Certainly.
It's a regional thing, like Baltic and.
Yeah, it could be regional. It could be if you're in China, if you're in India, where they don't have Christianity's not surrounding you. Eastern European, Russian Orthodox, could be different areas had different customs. Either way, we should be zochet to follow our minhagim. We found out that there's a fundamental machlokas. If something has a reason, but the goyim have nevertheless adopted it, it's machlokas, ramah, and gra. If it becomes off limits to us, we should be zochet to follow our minhagim. We should be zochet to have sweetness, to have sweet smelling life, and shavuos, and yontif, and only good things for us and for Klal Yisrael.